Yesterday, as I was just doing some devotional time, and the Lord spoke to my heart on this subject, and I didn't think I'd be preaching it this morning. I thought it was mainly just some things the Lord was saying to me. You know, that should be our first perspective on our devotion time is, Lord, speak to me. Lord, don't give me something that I can tell somebody else first. Deal with me. First, deal with me. Speak to me. And that's a good time of your personal time, private time with the Lord. And the more I thought about it through the afternoon, late afternoon and early this morning, the more I'm convinced that the Lord just wants me to share these things with you. And I want to deal with something that I'm pretty confident that all of us in here can relate to. Now, I know that's a bold statement when you have a congregation of various ages and so forth, that to make a statement that pretty much all of us in here can relate to it. I want to deal with the subject of failure. Now, if you've never failed, then take a nap, because I don't have anything to say to you this morning other than you need to get right with God for lying. Amen. That's right. And so failure, working through failure. And I'm going to use a character in the Bible that probably you had never thought ever failed, because we have esteemed him so high in the Lord for his work's sake, and that's the Apostle Paul. As he pens down the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter number 3, and if you're looking for a pretty outline, you're in the wrong place this morning. But like I said, these are just some notes, some thoughts that the Lord just spoke to me about yesterday in my devotion time. And he changed my direction about what he wanted me to preach this morning. So no doubt I need it, and we all need it this morning. I'm just going to jump in. I'm actually going to point out some various things through the whole chapter of chapter 3. But I want to just read for sake of time. Let's start in verse 10, and we'll read down through verse 14. The Bible says that I may know him. Now keep in mind, Paul had been saved for many years. Paul knew him as Savior. That's not what he's talking about, that I may know him as Savior. He already knew that. He's wanting to know him experientially. He's wanting to have experiential knowledge. Knowledge that he didn't get from a book or for somebody else's testimony. He wanted to know God on a first-hand basis. I think that would be good for us to have that aspiration. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. You can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name today to the throne of grace. And Lord, I ask you, God, that you will help me this morning to convey, Lord, some simple truths, Lord, to this congregation. Lord, upon this subject that we all can relate to in our past, maybe some can relate to right now, it's ongoing. And surely, Lord, if you don't come back very soon, we likely will fail again. But I pray that you'll help us to learn some things, just some simple truths right here from the Apostle Paul's life. And may your will be done. Stir our hearts, save sinners, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. What got my attention was verse number 13, when Paul said these words, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing," note that, he said, "this one thing I do," and then he mentions three things that he does. He mentions that he is forgetting those things which are behind. Secondly, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then verse 14, I'm pressing toward the mark, or pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God. He said, this is the one thing that I do. I'm committed to doing this, though it has three things. But here's the thing that got my attention, just for me personally. And I don't, how many's ever battled with the feelings of failure? How many's ever dealt with it? I'm telling you, you're talking about being the graveyard of spirituality. Live with that mentality. Carry that load. Carry that guilt. Carry that those things that deals with and that's attached to failure. And I want to tell you, friend, it'll kill you, to say it mildly. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll take your joy. It'll take your song, your shout. And how many people, not only in this church dear this morning, but in the lives of those that'll rub shoulders with you at the workforce, or you know, in the neighborhood, or relatives, that they're dealing with failure. And it may be a failure that nobody else even knows about. It might be a failure, a mental failure. Amen. Failure to, you're being consumed with thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. It should be private. It may be private failure. Who knows? Public failure. And who knows what we're dealing with. But I just want the Lord to help us this morning. But Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind. Now that's what Paul said. Paul said, there's some things in my life behind me that I need to forget. Now this word forget is not an absence of mind. It doesn't mean I can't recall it. I don't know what you're talking about. No, Paul remembered full well what he was even before he got saved. He knew all of that. He was aware of his failures. Amen? But this word forgetting means I refuse to let what I know control me in the present. I refuse to let it get in the driver's seat of my life. But Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now I want to ask you, would that be good things? Why would you want to forget good things? Would he be talking about spiritual things? Why would you want to forget spiritual things? Amen? You see that line of thought? The only thing that could be referencing is failure. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting the negative. Forgetting the failures. Forgetting the mistakes. Amen. Forgetting them in that I refuse to let them influence my life in the present. I refuse to let them be the map or the GPS that charts my course. Amen. And so, well, I just pray the Lord to help us today. So I believe that's what he's dealing with. Reaching, forgetting those things which are behind. And I know it's hard for us to grasp. It is for me. It's hard for me to grasp that the Apostle Paul, the one that God used to bring the gospel to the Gentile world, the Apostle Paul, the one that penned down, we know for a fact, 13 books of the New Testament and 14 if he wrote Hebrews, and I believe he did. But listen, you'd have put him up on a pedestal. One of the greatest, probably no doubt, was the greatest Christian that we know of in the Bible. Amen. The only one I think was bragged on anymore was John the Baptist. And Jesus said there's none greater than John the Baptist, born of a woman. None greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. But the Apostle Paul, as you and I know and read his writings and have preached his material that he's penned down under inspiration of this Holy Spirit, I want to say we elevate him. And if we're not careful, we'll forget this one simple truth. He was still a man, and he was still human, and he was still in the flesh. And you can read that in several passages such as Romans 6 and 7 and other places where Paul dealt with the struggles and the trials that comes with dealing with the old man, the flesh. Forgetting those things which are behind. But that's not all he said. He said there's another aspect. He said then, reaching forth unto those things which are before. In light of that first statement being about failure, then what would this one reference? This would be talking about learning from your failures. I'm going to forget those things, but yet I'm not going to sit down in the graveyard of failure. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to let it be the end of me. I'm not going to let it be the end of me. Are you listening? Don't let failure be the end of you. Failure is never meant to be fatal. Failure's never meant to be final. Amen. Amen. God help us. But reaching forth, that is, there's things up ahead. I can use what I know of failure and what I've learned about failure, and I can use that to help me to reach unto new things, better things, spiritual things, beneficial things, positive things that is before me. Oh, yes. And so, man, there's a whole lot I could say this morning. And I believe this with all my heart, that there are two great dangers. Thought about this yesterday. There's two great dangers when you think about failures. One is when you get to thinking that your failure is greater than everybody else's. And you can get there. And I want to tell you, you're not going to be in a good shape if you're thinking that. My failure is greater than anybody else's. My failure is worse than anybody else's. And you can see where depression will come in with that. You can see where low self-esteem comes in with that. People that's killed themselves probably got in that shape. People that got suicidal probably got in that mentality. That my failure, that, amen, is greater than anybody else's. There are young people today that are suicidal in their mind when they've got their whole life ahead of them, and it's because they feel that they are nothing more than a failure. They get told that all the time. They get told that almost a daily basis, that you are nothing, you'll never be nothing. And guess what? If you hear something long enough, you'll start believing it. Amen. Amen. I want to ask us parents, and I did say us, when's the last time that we spoke a positive word to our children? Sure, they probably need their tater tanned, and yes, they probably need rebuking about 1,000 things. But when's the last time that you took a microscope and, amen, a magnifying glass and went through their life and found something that you could brag on? I bragged on, of course, she's not mine biologically, but she pulled up this morning without running over me, and I said, you keep doing that, and you're going to learn how to drive. That was a compliment, wasn't it? That wasn't a compliment? I thought that was a compliment. I was bragging on her advancement. She's advancing in her driving skills. Miss Stacy was in the passenger seat, and she was pale as a ghost, and she got out of the car doing this, and I thought, what in the world? Amen. But point is, in fact, I know for a fact, a preacher friend of mine told me of a young lady that had mentioned to him about suicidal thoughts, said that no matter what I do, I cannot please, and then mentioned one of the parents. No matter how hard I try, I can't please them. You know what that's going to do? That's going to put just a complete complex of failure. I'm just a failure. And listen, you fail enough in the same areas, you'll get to where you don't want to try. You'll get to the place, listen, I told you failure is never meant to be fatal or final. But I want to tell you, if you ever get to the place where you run up the white flag and give up and say, I'm tired of trying because every time I try, I fail seemingly. Well, I'd rather try and fail as to not try and succeed at doing nothing. Amen. And so, there's the danger of my failure being greater of others. The second danger is when you start thinking others is greater than mine. You start minimizing yours. You start downplaying yours. And you think little of yours. Amen. And that also is dangerous. But anyway, let me give you some things. Here's you some sayings. Some of these are mine. Some of them are not. As I mentioned, failure is to never be the end. Listen to that. Lord, give that to me. Failure is never to be the end. It gives an opportunity to begin again better. It's never to, if you failed, don't look at it and say, this is the end. This is the period. This is the end of the book for my life. No, failure's not the end. It's just an opportunity for you to begin again better. Amen? You'll know what not to do next time. Failure is just one way to know what not to do next time. That's good, isn't it? Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. It is, Winston Churchill said this, and I think we ought to listen to what he said. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. That's good. Your comfort zone, listen, I don't know that Steve Harvey's a TV man. He said this, your comfort zone will also be your failure zone. If you're going to fail, it's most of the time going to be in the area that you're comfortable with. If you're going to succeed, it's usually in the area of dealing with discomfort, getting out of your comfort zone and letting God use your life. I wrote this down. The moment you become comfortable with failure, your chances of success goes way, way down. I don't want to become comfortable with failure. Failure is just one way that it didn't work. Failure demands change. I wrote this down yesterday. Failure demands change. It is likely that what failed before, done the same way, will fail again. That's why you need to change. Failure means something needs to change. Failure isn't final. Failure isn't the final results unless you quit. Amen. Failure is really only a progress for success. Failure isn't a character quality. Listen to this. This is good. Failure isn't a character quality. It is just an event. Failure is not what you are. It's just something that happened. Amen. So I want to say it again. Failure is not a character quality. It is an event. How you respond to failure is your character. Amen. It is the strength of character that enables us to get up and keep moving when we failed. That's good. Oh, yes. Someone said this, one of God's greatest gifts to us is the joy of trying again. For no failure ever needs to be final. Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't matter. Wow, isn't that good? How many got that? You don't have to write it down, but you ought to get that. Failure, I want to say it, our greatest fear should not be failure, but it should be that of succeeding in areas that don't matter. Well, that's good right there. I don't know who said that. It wasn't me. Many will fail at success, but they will succeed at failure. Amen. It is better to try and fail than to not fail because you didn't try. Some of these are mine. Some never succeed because they're so focused on failure. They never succeed because they're so focused on failure, whether it be past failures or present failures. Some are afraid of failure that they will not even try, which is the ultimate failure. Amen. And of course, we've all heard this one. Man is not finished when he fails. He's finished when he quits. We've all heard that, haven't we? But no doubt in this text, forgetting those things which are behind, Paul is referencing failures in his life. And I believe Paul had to deal with things in his life much like you and I will. I believe he had to deal with anger. I believe he had to deal with jealousy. I believe he had to deal with things of the flesh, there's no doubt. Because he was a man in every sense of the word. But yet I believe that Paul learned from his failures. The Bible is filled with examples of people who failed. I mean, some of the greatest Bible characters that inspires us were people that had failure mixed in with their successes. Amen. And I mean, you could name one right after another, right all the way from the Old Testament, right on through the New Testament. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with failure? How do you work through that? And we're going to give you some things, Lord willing, here in a few minutes about that. Let me give you this. Thomas Edison, and we all know who he is, but his teacher told him, I'm talking about failures that later become great, great successes. Thomas Edison was told by his teachers, you're too stupid to learn anything. What if that would have went to his head? Huh? What if that had went to his head? We'd be sitting in the dark. That's right. We'd be sitting in the dark. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. How many? Would I have kept on going? Negative. About one or two failures, had been it. I'd have thrown it off in the ditch, amen. So that's it. I ain't fooling with that. But 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. When a reporter asked him, how did I feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I did not fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. He was looking at each failure as nothing but a step in the direction of success. Oh, that's good. Amen. Do you see that attitude there? See, our attitude determines our altitude. Our outlook determines our outcome. If we fail, drop the ball, amen, mess up, and then all of a sudden we quit, we throw in the towel, what's the use? You'll never do anything for God. But look at your failures as a stepping stone to higher ground spiritually. Amen. Learn from that. He said the light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. He said, I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 999 ways will not work. He said, I'm successful even in that. I proved that 999 wrong moves, wrong steps didn't work. I proved that. Yeah. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success before they gave up. And guess who said that? The same one that invented the light bulb. A lot of people don't realize how close you are. What if you'd have quit at 988 or even 999? We'd be in the dark. We'd be using oil lamps. Amen? Candles. All right. But he was unwilling to quit. He was unwilling to give up, thinking the next trial, the next one, may be the successful one. And I'd say when he hit that 1,000th one and the light bulb lit up and it was working, I'd say the overwhelming sense went through him, I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I kept pressing on. I'm glad I kept trying another this and another that and another method. And amen. Amen, that's right. Amen. Albert Einstein, as I referenced earlier, did not even speak until he was 4 years old. Did not read until he was 7. What about that? His parents thought he was subnormal. And one of his teachers described him as mentally slow and unsociable, adrift forever in foolish dreams. Yeah, Einstein. Amen, that's right. Amen, that's good, ain't it? He probably laughed about that later in life, didn't he? No, they probably laughed about that later in life. He was expelled, I'm talking about Einstein, was expelled from school when he refused admittance to the Zurich whatever school. He was expelled from school. Einstein was expelled from school. He was refused to be admitted into this other school. He did eventually learn to speak and read, even to do a little math. What about that? He learned to do a little math. And he now is known as the most well-known physicist, scientist of the 20th century. How you respond to trials or failure. And I have several down here. My goodness, I don't have time to read them all. Michael Jordan, probably one of the greatest basketball players ever hit the court, besides Larry Bird. Hey, man. We got to reach back and get a little credit. But Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Why would they do that? Not good enough. He said in this, and I quote, he said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I had been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed." Failure! Huh? He said, "I failed over and over and over again in my life. That is why I succeed." Learning from it. Babe Ruth, probably one of the greatest well-known baseball players, was famous for his past home run record. Decades, he also held the record for strikeouts. How many knew that? We all know about the home run hit, the records, 714 then. But he struck out more than he hit home runs. He struck out 1,330 times in his career. He's not known for his strikeouts. He's known for his home runs. Your failure should not define you. Hey, man. Failure is not what you are. It may be something that you did, but it's not what you are. Hey, man, don't let failures define you. Oh, yes, thank God. I quote, Babe Ruth was asked about all of this, strikeouts and everything. And here's what he said, quote, "Every strikeout brought me closer to the next home run. Every time I struck," he said, "and missed, it was just getting me closer to a home run." Hey, man, keep swinging, church. Keep swinging. Not your fist, but the bat. Hey, man. Bobby Jones, probably the greatest, one of the greatest golfers of all time. You can't even go into Augusta, Georgia without just, it's everywhere. Bobby Jones Parkway, Bobby Jones Freeway, Bobby Jones this and that and the other. And here's what he said. He said, "I never learned a thing from a tournament I won." He said, "I never learned a thing from a tournament that I won." You know what he was saying, Brother Jones? He said, I studied my failures. When I'd make a bad shot, I'd figure out why. Amen. He's not like me. I play a little every once in a while, about once a year. You know, every time I hit it, Brother Brad, it goes in that hole out there. It makes me mad. Yeah. You know, you pay money to play 9 holes, 18 holes. You want to hit it a bunch of times, I think. I mean, that's the way I look at it. The only thing about it, the hole it goes in has got trees in it and sand and water and everything else. Amen. But there's example after example after example. Walt Disney is an example of that. The newspaper editor told, he was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Walt Disney was fired because he didn't have a good imagination and no good ideas. He went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. In fact, the purpose for the park was rejected by the city of Anaheim on the grounds that it would only attract riffraff. And how many people, I mean, I went years ago when I was a kid, but how many people loves to go there? Hey, right over here is a grown kid right here, amen. I think Miss Donna told me, said when she went there, well, I don't remember. Yeah. Oh. But there's just example after example. Elvis Presley. Of course, he's not a hero of mine, but I was listening to some young people talk the other day. Actually, it was at teen camp. And I just happened to overhear one of the boys talking to another boy and said, hey, you look like Kid Rock. I don't know who that is. It don't sound good. And I just happened to be standing close by when he said to that boy, hey, you look like Kid Rock. I said, I doubt that's a compliment. I doubt that's a compliment. Hey, man. Well, I'm going to go on. Some of you can't handle much more of that. But listen, here's some things. Just write these down. These are just so simple. It's just something that spoke to my heart. And I got a bunch of other things I could say. But I found in chapter number 3, I just started going back into chapter 3 and just kind of looking through the chapter and just letting the Lord give me some things. And the first thing that I noticed in verse number, verse 3 down through verse number 8, is that failure is a dependence upon the flesh. That's what failure is. Failure's not coming through the Holy Spirit. Failure comes through the dependence on the flesh. What does it say in verse 3? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, listen to what Paul said, I more. Paul said, if anybody's going to get in a boasting challenge, I could beat you hands down. I've got a pedigree, I've got a degrees, amen, more than a thermometer, amen. I could brag more than anybody. At verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He just throwed out a few things to show that, hey, I know what I'm talking about. But here's what he said in verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know what he's saying in these verses? Failure comes through a dependence upon the flesh. When you lean on the flesh, are led by the flesh, are lorded over by the flesh, count it down, write this down, friend, write it down. Failure is going to be your portion. Amen. If you want to find a good one-word description for the flesh, it's called failure. Spiritual failure. The flesh is what's behind prayerlessness. The flesh is what's behind an unread Bible. Amen. The flesh is behind that. Amen. That's right. And so I just simply wrote that down, that failure comes when we depend upon the flesh. And how you think about your flesh. When you think you're something, then you're nothing. Number 2, write this down. And we're just moving right along. Verse number 9, he said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What is he saying here? He's saying here that one must realize that my righteousness, which is my acceptance with God, it does not come by the do's and don'ts of the law. Now, what is failure? It's when you focus on what you do or don't do. But he goes on to say the righteousness, that acceptance that I have with God, that right standing that I have with God comes through faith. Comes through faith. Look at it, verse number 9. comes through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Failure comes through, and when you're defeated by failure, when you're depressed by failure, what are you looking at? You're consumed with your do's and don'ts. And that's where quitting comes in. I'm going to throw in the towel. But you need to realize, and the Lord just spoke to my heart about this, that I've been made accepted in the Beloved. Hey, listen, I need to realize that I'm not accepted with God based on whether I'm a success or whether I'm a failure. I am accepted with man. I do have their applause. I do have their approval based on do's and don'ts. Amen. Amen. And failures and success. But not with God. I've been accepted with Him because of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that helps me when I know that I failed, that I can get up again, and that I can claim victory, that I can ask for forgiveness and get right with God and go on. Amen. Number three, verse number 10. A third thing is this. Paul said that I may know Him. Listen, how do you work through failure? How do you deal with failure? And this one, listen, very important. Just simply put, and I just wrote it down. Always, even with failures in your life, always have high spiritual aspirations. Paul, no doubt, had failures in his life, but you know what drove him? It wasn't his failures. It wasn't defeat. You know what drove him? That I may know Him. That's what drove him. I want to know Jesus experientially. I want to know Jesus intimately. I want to be like Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death. He said, I want to know Him. In the midst of your failures, when you fail, always have an aspiration. I want to get up. I want to keep trying because I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. Amen. Number four. Number four, verse number 12 and 13. Here's what Paul said. In verse number 12, he said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. You know what Paul said? And it's not an excuse. He's not making an excuse for failure. Never make an excuse for your failure. Your failure will have dominance in your life and will have victory in your life when you blame your failure on somebody else. Make excuses. Well, the circumstances. Well, the situation. Well, he or her or them. No. Look in the mirror and say, Lord, I failed because I made the wrong choice. I responded wrong. I reacted wrong. I did wrong. But anyway, here's the thing that I wrote down, and that is simply verse number 12 and 13, that Paul is saying here, I'm still a work in progress. Amen, that helped me. He said, I've not attained. He said, I've not attained. I've not already arrived. I'm not already perfect. You know what helped Paul to deal with failure? Is that I am a work in progress. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Amen. And my failures does not sneak up on God. He never looks at any failure in your life or mine and says, oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't plan on that. I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, no. He knew how sorry we were going to be, and that's not to excuse our sorriness. He knew that. He knew full well. Amen. But I'm glad that the Bible said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Chuck opened the Sunday school hour about the potter and the clay. Amen. Thank God that potter knows how to deal with that clay. Get the sticks out, the trash out, the lumps out. He knows how to deal with all of that and work around that. Amen. Amen. When there's a failure in your life, God says, well, I just need to keep working on them. Amen. Let your failures let you know that you've not arrived yet. Amen. Amen. I know we can get, listen, we could get a number of people to testify on our behalf to find that out, that we haven't arrived yet. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm surprised my wife didn't say amen right there real loud. But I've not attained. I'm not already perfect. Paul said, not making excuses for failure, but he said, I'm still on the wheel. The potter is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Still a work in progress. Number five, and I referenced this earlier in the message, verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. I believe in order to work through failure, deal with failure, you need to be able to get the failure out of the driver's seat of your life. Forget it in that you will not let it control you in the present. Do not forget the lessons you learn from the failure. Do not forget the feelings that's associated with failure. How many, we raised our hand earlier, we've all failed. The misery that comes in with that, don't ever forget that. The regret that comes in with that, don't forget that. Forget the failure, don't let it control your life, but don't ever forget how you felt when you dropped the ball, when you failed God. Don't ever forget that. You know why? Because that will be a deterrent for you failing the next time. Because when you fail the next time, the feelings will be the same. Amen. The misery will be the same. Regret will be the same. Amen. I'm not going to go into the details of this, but you've heard my testimony. The day after I got saved, I did something that I did before I got saved. And I'm telling you, listen, guilt, conviction, condemnation, and nobody knows it either. But it came in. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now lived in me. What I was enjoying the day, 2 days before, amen, now I was miserable. I felt unclean. Amen. You know what? I forgot that failure. Amen. I forgot that failure in that I don't let it control me. But I've never forgot that feeling. I never forgot the feelings, Brother Jones, that was associated with those failures. And I want to tell you, when temptation has arose in my life since then, I was quick to say, no, negative, because I knew that the feelings will be the same. Sin is always sin. It won't be no different the next time than it was the time before. Amen. Don't forget the lessons learned, and don't forget the feelings associated with it. Amen. Don't forget the steps that took you to it, took you to the failure. Don't forget those steps. I wrote this down. Lord, give this to me this morning. In fact, I was getting ready. Failure is never the first step. That's good. That's a simple little one-line statement that is filled with truth. Failure is not the first step. There are steps leading up to it. Study that failure and look at the path that led to it and learn from that. Amen. Verse 14, here's number 6. We're moving right along. You should praise God. It's good. Verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What do we learn here? We learn here in times of failure, keep moving forward. There's some of the Lord, just some simple things the Lord spoke to me about yesterday. Just keep moving forward. I press toward the mark. That's not backwards. That's forward. I read this statement. I don't remember who said it, but I read it in just meditating and on that devotion time and stuff, just learned, trying to get some stuff from me. Somebody made this statement, to fail forward. You know, you hear that term, I fail forward? Fail forward. Paul, his failures, he used that as a directional change. If I'm failing, I want to make sure as a result of that, I fail forward. I want to make sure that I'm going in forward motion. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I know there's a lot of preaching there. Amen. A lot of preaching there. Quitting will never just sit down. I want you to get that. Quitting, and we've all, listen, I don't want y'all to think, now ain't nobody here in Rogersville thinking about quitting. We've seen people quit. And we'd probably be shocked how many people is in this room, amen, or listening to the sound of my voice, that you're entertaining those thoughts. And we'd all be lying if we said it's never entered our mind. Amen. You say, Breach, that's awful if you think about it. I thought about quitting. No. What makes sin is when you do quit, when you put actions to those thoughts. Amen. Someone said you may not can keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. That thought of quitting may just come in your mind, but listen, don't let it stay there. Don't let it build a nest there, because if it builds a nest there, it's going to lay eggs there. Amen. It's going to get bigger. So listen, you deal with failure by keep moving forward. How many people's got out of church because of failure? How many people's quit reading their Bible because of failure? How many people's quit tithing, giving to missions, quit praying, quit witnessing, quit handing out tracts because of failure? They didn't fail forward. Number 7, write down verse 15, 16, and 17. And by the way, I just got one more, so y'all, what good is number 7 if you've got 30? No, I've just got 8, okay? But number 7 is, in verse 15, 16, and 17, we need to realize, dealing with our failures, that other people needs an example. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that is mature, a mature person, somebody that's learned from their mistakes, learned from their, you know, from their failures. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You know why we need to deal with failure the right way and respond the right way? And I want to. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. Don't ever have that idea. I want to fail. No. Don't ever do that. Hate it. Reject it. Go around it. Just, amen. Try every way in the world to not ever allow that in your life. But once that failure's in your life, you've got to deal with it, or it's going to deal with you. Amen. Deal with it spiritually. Deal with it scripturally. And look at, but verse 17 says, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul says, I can't quit. I failed. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. But he said, I can't quit. But why? Because people's watching me. People needs an example. The world's got all kinds of examples about failures and that are final, and they quit. And amen, they deal with it wrong. The world says, if you failed, go get drunk. If you failed, get on dope. If you failed, kill yourself. But listen, God don't say that. God doesn't say that. So other people needs an example. And if you quit, you're not an example. And then last of all, verse 21, well, actually verse 20 and 21, for our conversations in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like in his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Last of all, number 8, how do you deal with failure, working through failure, working with failure? You anticipate the day that's coming when failures will be forever past. There's a day coming when the Savior comes, verse 20, and what's going to happen? He's going to change our vile body, that it be fashioned like unto his glorious body, And Jesus Christ never has failed, never will fail, never can fail. And there's a day coming, bless His name, that I'm going to be brought into His likeness of a no failed condition. Don't get too happy about that. There's a day coming, Brother Chuck, that I will be in a spiritual condition, in a glorified body, in a glory world. I'll never have to ask God to forgive me again. I'll never have to apologize again. I'll never have to claim 1 John 1:9 again. Why? Because all failures will be forever past. Thank God. That helps me. That helps me, don't you? There won't be no repentance going on in heaven. Ain't nobody in heaven asking for forgiveness. Thank God. Why? Because we're not failing. All failures is earthly. All failures is physical, fleshly, and it's temporal. The day's coming when we'll never fail God again. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Let's all stand our feet. Father, I want to thank You today, Lord, for just speaking to my heart. Lord, just giving me some of these things that I was thinking that was just for me personally, to help me, to encourage me, to strengthen me. But dear Lord, You began to later on, last night and early this morning, You began to show me, Lord, that speak to my heart that we need to insert this message in this morning. And Lord, I believe it was Your will. I believe it's Your will, Lord. And Lord, I seem like sometimes I feel like the only thing I'm good at is messing up and coming up short, failing. But Lord, I want to thank You that the Holy Ghost has helped me time and time again over the past 35 years of being saved to just get up, wipe off the dirt and the dust, and ask God to forgive us and allow Jesus to put us back on our feet again and go on and serve God and live for Jesus. And Lord, we need to be able to forgive ourselves. I know there's forgiveness with You, Lord. Scripture's so clear on that. But Lord, sometimes, Lord, that when I fail, Lord, I'm very, very slow and hesitant to forgive myself. There's probably more people defeated over that one thing than any other thing. It's when they fail, they become their own judge, and they feel like that I just need to punish myself. God, I pray You help them to know that's not right. That's not right. Lord, help me, I pray. Work in the service. Lord, may we be quick to forgive ourselves. Lord, may we let it go. There's some folk here who need to let some things go. Lord, You spoke to me yesterday. Lord, I need to let some things go. Lord, we can harbor and we can stay focused on things and failures. Not just my own failures, but other people's failures. And Lord, I've been defeated by that lots of times. The failures of others. Lord, I pray You'll help us, God, to take these simple truths, take it to heart, and that You'd use it, God, for Your glory. Lord, they sang the song earlier, "It's All Right." It's not all right that we fail, but Lord, we can get forgiveness. We can have that cleansed from us. And the Holy Spirit of God can let us know it's all right. It's all right. It may have injured our fellowship temporarily, but it didn't injure our relationship. It's all right. Lord, I'm glad I'm not saved based on my perfection. Lord, I'm glad none of us are saved based on our perfections. Lord, we wouldn't be saved 2 or 3 minutes at a time if that. But Lord, I want to thank You that I'm saved by the perfect One who never fails and declared is finished and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, it may be someone here today that's been carrying a heavy load of guilt, been carrying a load of guilt of failure in their life. And they may even start to think, that's what I am. I'm a failure. I'm just a failure, and there's no need to try. There's no doubt in times past there's been people that's been dealt with by the Spirit of God to come to an altar, but they think, well, I've been to the altar before. I'll just probably end up failing again. And so they've quit. Father, please have your way in this service with these simple truths. In Jesus' name we pray.